Hello, everybody. I'm Alicia Swamy. I'm here with my co-host Keely Severson, Eric Johnson. We are exposing molds. Today, we have Dr. Marlene Siegel. Did I say that correctly?
You did.
Oh, fantastic. Yay. I probably should have asked you that before the convo, but I'm glad we got it all down. Dr. Marlene is best known for integrating holistic treatment options with traditional veterinary medicine. Since 1987, she has relentlessly pursued the cause of disease in animals and formulated treatment regimens that literally save lives. It's not a stretch to say that Dr. Siegel has given back decades of life to the animals she has treated. She's committed to creating healthy lifestyles for animals and the people that love them. She has gained national recognition after being featured on the Truth About Cancer Project in 2019, and in the same year launched Evo Love Raw, her proprietary raw pet food for dogs and cats. And she continues to treat them at her practice in Lutz, Florida. Thank you so much, Dr. Siegel, for joining us.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here.
I just want to let you know and let everyone know listening how difficult it was for me to find a vet that knows about toxic mold. And then second, how to treat pets that are dealing with mold related health issues. So I'm glad that I found you because there's only a few of you guys. It's literally like finding a diamond in the rough. So I can guarantee absolutely 100% that after this conversation airs, your practice might be overloaded with people and their pets. So I hope that's okay.
We're good with that.
All right. So like, how did you take interest in this? First of all, just maybe we can talk about the evolution of mold and it harming pets. What are you seeing out there?
Well, the conversation is going to go further back than that, but in regards to mold, I live in Florida. We have mold everywhere. We're in the most humid environment. There's rain all the time. People have leaks in their homes. I mean, just mold is a really, really big issue in Florida. So we do see a lot of toxicity, but it's not just mold. I think it's mold in conjunction with really suppressed immune systems and these poor animals that just aren't supported the way they were biologically meant to be supported. We have more toxins in our environment than ever before in the history of the world. And not just mold toxins, we're talking about glyphosate and pesticides and all these chemicals and xenoestrogens that are causing hormone disruption. It's just this overwhelming amount of toxicity, and mold is a piece of that. So where most individuals would have a pretty good immune system, and again, we're exposed to mold all the time. Mold has been around before we have been around. And it's mold's really important because it helps to degrade organic matter. So I live in a food forest. And in my food forest, we use fungi and mold and all these organisms to help break down and make good, healthy soil. So it's not that mold is necessarily the bad guy. It's when we grow the bad molds and we have environments where we aren't paying attention. And then we're starting to get exposure to some of the more deadly, you know, the five biggies. And that's when we start to have a problem. But it's also because we have such immune suppression in our pets and in our people.
Absolutely. Now, there's always, it seems like hurricanes are hitting harder now than ever. In my perspective, I don't really know if that's reality. So you can correct me if I'm wrong.
It is.
Do you often see just a rise in pet patients needing help after these hurricanes?
Well, I'm in Tampa, so we, thank God, have not had a direct hit, but we have storms during the summer. There's storms every day. Roof leaks out, extraordinary roof leaks for most people, and then window leaks. So I don't know that it's just hurricane season, but in Florida, at least, we just see that there's a lot of exposure to leaking. And then we haven't even talked about plumbing leaks and all the things that happen inside the home. So we really need to be paying attention. And I think this is where the house owner really needs to have more coaching, is to be looking for evidence of mold in their home and then to test on a regular basis, because there's a lot of molds that you may not see them before they start becoming a problem. And then by the time they become a problem, now you really have a bad infestation.
Got it. Now, there's a lot of talk in the human world that people get sick from mold because of their genetics. Do pets have similar genetics to humans that would basically predispose them to becoming sick from mold?
I love that question, and I'm so glad you did that on your own. 5% of all disease is genetic. 5%. 95% is epigenetic. That means it's our lifestyles that are causing the problems. We have an immune system. We have organs of detoxification. We have these systems built into our bodies, and our pets have them as well. We have just overwhelmed them with so much junk, so many toxins, and such a poor diet, poor microbiome that lives in our gut. We've just devastated our biology. And now that's really why we're seeing as much disease as we are now. It's not that our genetics have changed, but we've certainly destroyed the epigenetic solution to health. And so we have to start taking more control of our health by creating the lifestyle, which is diet, environment, including controlling EMF, if it's possible, and all the chemicals and toxins that we are using in our environment, inside and outside. So I think as people start to become more conscious of how much we're destroying our pets' health, our kids' health, our own health, and Mother Earth, now we really can start to take a different approach and say, what can I do to do my part to create a healthier environment? And that means healthier cleaning products and healthier laundry products, healthier personal body care products, better food. All of those things play a huge role in helping our immunity.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors. Home Cleanse, formerly known as All American Restoration, is a company that specializes in improving indoor air quality through proper mold remediation, offering services nationwide. You can visit them at homecleanse.com to learn more. The Mold Guy performs mold sampling and testing for homeowners, renters, and businesses. Please visit themoldguyinc.com to learn more. Black Diamond Services provides solutions to the unforeseen challenges that can affect homes and families with no out-of-pocket costs. Services include temporary housing relocation and mold test referrals for homeowners. Visit blackdiamondservices.com to learn more. Thank you again for your sponsorship. It is integral to our ability to serve our community and to improve the quality of life for all. Thank you so much for that. So when you are working with pet patients, I love calling them pet patients. I don't know if that's a real thing or not, but I just think it's so cute. Are you screening them for environmental exposures?
Yes, we do it through bioenergetic testing. But in my practice, we're screening for a lot of stuff. So we're looking for cancer markers. We're looking for inflammation markers. So that may be an indirect way that we look at mold, of course. And then we do bioenergetic testing, of course, the standard CBC chemistry, urinalysis, and thyroid, but that's not going to show you the things that we're looking for. And then we look for heavy metal exposure. We look for nutrient deficiencies like vitamin D, magnesium, B12, copper, selenium, zinc. I mean, all these things are so critical to our health and the way our body works. And yet we are living in a world of tremendous deficiencies and also tremendous toxicities. In fact, I'm going to define for you what I call dis-ease, because I don't think there's such a thing as disease. I think it's simply the body not being in balance. And so that looks like either a deficiency of essential nutrients. An essential nutrient is a nutrient that the body cannot produce in sufficient quantities on its own. And then toxicities, of course, are all the things we're just talking about, which include mold and xenoestrogens and pesticides and chemicals. All of that stuff is included in there because the body doesn't know how to get rid of these synthetic toxins. And I don't know what the current number is, but about 10 years ago, the number was 85,000 synthetic toxins have been developed and released into our environment since World War II, 1942. So imagine if that was 10 years ago, we have to be astronomically higher than that. I mean, it's just the numbers are going up because every year people are coming out, these companies are coming out with more and more chemicals and artificial things. Well, our bodies and our pet bodies don't know what to do with that. So if it doesn't know how to get rid of it, if there wasn't a metabolic pathway for detoxification of it, it's going to store it in fat. And we have a lot of fat people and a lot of fat animals on the planet. But even if you're not fat, those toxins still go into your fat. And now it's being stored there where it's not inert. It's still sending off chemical signals and causing disruption to the body. So we really have to step back, not just from the mold conversation, but all the way back to, are we suffering from deficiencies? Are we suffering from toxicities? And is there mitochondrial dysfunction? And the mitochondria are where we not only get our energy from, but they're also the communicator between them and the microbiome. So we have this whole ecosystem happening in and on us where the mitochondria are talking to all the organisms that live inside of us. And some of them are actually fungi that are healthy fungi that are in us. So we're not trying to destroy and eliminate all of these parasites and fungus and bacteria. We couldn't live without them, even the viruses. But it's when the terrain of the body becomes unsupportive of a healthy environment. So imagine a planet, and that's what we are to them. There's more them than there are us's. So that really there's more genetic information coming from our microbiota, which includes the viruses, the bacteria, the fungi, the parasites. There's more coming from them than we have in our own genetic material. So we rely on them to actually code a lot of our genetic information. What's the problem in today's society is we become so imbalanced that the pathogens are starting to take over because the environment, the terrain is so bad that the pathogens are going, wow, this is a sinking ship. So let's try to survive somehow so the pathogenic species start to take over. If we were able to create a healthier terrain by providing species-appropriate diet, drinking structured, filtered water, by eating the nutrients and supporting our nutrients, they're not in our soil anymore. So we have to take supplements that are supplementing these essential nutrients. We have to detoxify. We have six organs of elimination. I'll tell them if you want. Kidney, colon, lungs, liver, skin, and lymphatics. And of those six, they're all important. But the most important are the liver and the lymphatics because they do the most work. And yet in our society, most individuals, and I'm talking people and pets, really have a poor lymphatic system. Why? Because we're not moving, right? You have to truly move. You have to get off the couch and go do something. And for people who have indoor pets, they're not, other than walking around the block twice a day when they go potty, they're not getting exercise. So these are all factors that are contributing to this demise of the terrain, the demise of our health. And then things like toxic ingredients can come in and go, oh, look, there's a haven here. It's an opportunity because nothing's healthy in there.
Thank you for that beautiful explanation. That was awesome. I wanted to ask you, are you seeing like an increase in pet allergies and sensitivities? Like, are pets becoming intolerant to food? Like, people are becoming intolerant to food?
We're seeing a rise in all health conditions. Cancer, one out of 1.65 dogs are getting cancer. It's almost 100%, age irrelevant. Cats, one out of three think it's highly reported. And then we look at allergies, autoimmune disease, obesity, osteoarthritis. It's off the charts. And I've been practicing for 40 years. And back when I first started practicing, you know, we saw the itching animal that had a flea allergy. There was the vomiting, the diarrhea, and that was most of our medicine. I didn't see cancer. We saw one or two cancer cases a year. I see on average 10 a week now. So it's off the charts, how much we are destroying our health. And I'm going to go back to, we're destroying the health of the planet as well. You know, we're losing bees. We're losing a lot of the plant species. We're losing a lot of the vertebrates. In fact, there's been a decrease of over 35% of vertebrates on this planet in the last 20 years. So we don't look around and notice it, but when somebody starts giving you statistics, you go, oh my gosh, you know, something's going wrong. We certainly know our health is bad because you look around at all the people that you know, and how many people can you name that have absolutely no health challenges? Pretty little. And then on the pet side as well, you know, everybody either has or knows somebody who has an animal that has some kind of chronic degenerative disease. And sadly, our society is kind of training us to accept it. Oh, you're getting older, so you're going to expect to have the aches and the pains and the deterioration. I'm going to tell you that is a falsehood. We should not be aging that ungracefully. I'm 66, and in no way, shape, or form am I willing to allow my body to go decrepit like that. So I do the things it takes to make my body stay healthy, to improve longevity and reduce inflammation. So we can all do that. We just have to change our lifestyle.
And you look great. And to all our listeners on listening on audio, you can head to our YouTube and see how wonderful Dr. Marlene Siegel looks. Check her out over there. But I wanted to tell you a story that's really intriguing. So what we're seeing is a lot of anecdotal situations where people are living in bad environments. They're having all these intolerances. They can't tolerate gluten. Some people have weird things, like they can't eat chicken or beef or plant food, and they think it's the oxalates, etc. But then they leave that environment, and then they're able to eat whatever they want. Are you seeing that with pets? Have you ever had a pet patient where, you know, you let them know, hey, your environment is toxic, it might be contributing to the poor health of your pet, these are the steps you can take? Have you ever seen a pet patient leave that environment and then basically healed a lot of their health issues?
Yes, but remember, I'm not doing that in isolation. So if we know, and mold is on our questionnaire. So we always ask people, do you have mold? And I would say probably 70% of them will mention the fact that they either know they had mold and they remediated it, or they have mold and they're working on remediating it. So most people do know that they have a problem. And again, I'm in Florida, so that's my environment. But I do consultations all around the world. And that is still one of my questions is, do you have mold? I have a friend in France. They have molds. They bought an old castle and they had a big problem with mold. So it is a big deal. And getting out of that environment is absolutely the first thing you have to do. I equate it to forest fires, right? If you're going in there and you're going to put out all the forest fires, well, if somebody's coming behind you lighting more forest fires, you're never going to resolve the problem. You know, another analogy that would make sense for people is, if I want to clean a polluted river and I send a whole team of people down, all this equipment, and we're just cleaning out all the trash from the river, but nobody sent the memo upstream that we need to stop polluting and throwing trash in the river. So of course, it's never going to get ahead of the game. So this is what we really need to do. We need to make sure our environment is clean, and that includes mold, but it also includes all the chemicals that we're using in our homes. It's formaldehyde, it's fire retardants, it's EMF, electromagnetic frequencies. So some people have bigger problems than others. There's all kinds of different toxins that are coming from the environment. Glyphosate, huge. Now that's more of an outdoor problem, but what happens when you're walking through freshly rained lawns and you're walking back in your house, you're carrying glyphosate back in? Your pets are going to lay on that floor. They're going to lick the floor. And so they're just going to get even more exposure. So you're right. We need to change the environment. And then two, we need to change our lifestyle. And then three, we need to take responsibility for what we eat, what we breathe, what goes on our skin. And when we start putting that lifestyle together, you start making dramatic changes. I mean, we reverse cancer. So nothing is impossible. If you take the action steps to change a lifestyle that is causing it, you know, Einstein said a long time ago, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And yet that's what we do. We keep the same lifestyle and we want a pill for the ill and a diet for the disease. And we want it just to be easy and go away. Guys, there is no fast, cheap, and simple. We really have to change our lifestyle, which can be extremely rewarding. And that's how I feel. For me, I like living that lifestyle. I love living that lifestyle. It's something that grounds me back to Mother Earth. It makes my life far more meaningful and healthier. So that's just my little tirade on, we got to quit blaming and shaming and just get off our duff and do something different.
Thank you for that. That again, Just beautifully said. I do appreciate that. And I do appreciate you emphasizing the importance of fixing up the environment and how that is extremely important and how 95% of your genetics are determined by your environment. So thank you so much. We definitely resonate with that. I want to talk pet anxiety. Now, I have never seen so many, I don't know, cures and drugs and supplements and CBD being marketed to pets these days. What's going on with pets and their mental health?
So it's not just mycotoxins, okay? So when we spray, I'm going to pick on glyphosate a little bit here, but when we spray glyphosate in the environment, and it's the most widely used toxin in the world, it's technically an antibiotic, and it blocks a pathway in bacteria called the shikimate pathway. Nobody has to memorize that. But what happens is when that pathway is blocked, the microorganisms who were supposed to make the aromatic amino acids that we are then supposed to consume, and those aromatic amino acids are the ones that make up our happy neurotransmitters. So follow the money here. If those aromatic amines are not being made into our diet, they're not being produced by the bacteria, they're not in our diet, so therefore we don't have another source unless you're taking these amino acids as a supplement. So over time, the body doesn't have the ability to produce these neurotransmitters. So we get low on dopamine and serotonin. Now, I have not seen any studies to support this. It's interesting that no one's talking about it, but I can take some of my behavior animals. I can detoxify them. I get them on amino acids, a species appropriate diet, and all the essential nutrients, vitamins, minerals, and fatty acids that they need. And they change behavior, they change their illnesses, and they get so much better. So there is something really to all of that. And I see that in people too. So when people have a lot of depression and anxiety, certainly we just went through a real wacky time in our world where a lot of things were done that don't support good mental health. But you couple that with the fact that we're so low on our neurotransmitters and we're so toxic, yes, that's going to turn into a major problem. The other thing that animals do is they entrain from their pet parents. So the entrainment principle is actually a real physics principle. It's not even woo-woo. And what happens is when you're around somebody who's a really dynamic speaker, really good motivator, you start picking up that energy and you feel like you can be like them. And if you're around an energy vampire, somebody who just sucks the life out of you, you have to go home and take a nap. So entrainment is like girls being in the dorm together and all starting to get their cycles together, or tuning a piano, right? You're literally taking and tuning a frequency. So when we are around people that are really stressed out, i.e. our pets, are in a household where a lot of stress going on the last couple of years. There's anxiety, there's pressure, there's money issues, there's job issues, there's health issues. A lot of families are split because they have polarization to their political opinion, their job opinion, their whatever opinion. So there's a lot going on, and these animals are entraining to that. So you take the combination of the deficiency of essential amino acids and then the stressful environment, and that's just a formula for disaster.
Yeah, I was just thinking about how everyone had to work from home, and now a lot of people are going back to the office, and the dogs were so, or cats or whoever, the pets are so used to the person being there all the time, and now they're just gone. It's like, you abandoned me, you know?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of problems with that. And, you know, during the pandemic, all these shelters were empty because people wanted to stay home and have something to love. But then when they started going back into their normal routines, now they have these animals, and we're seeing a lot of animals being abandoned again, and a lot of behavior problems because the training isn't there. People weren't thinking about the type of dog that they were getting and the environment that that dog needed. You know, is it a large dog? Is it a kid-friendly dog? Does it shed? Does it have health challenges? You know, there's so many different factors that go into what kind of a pet would be a good fit for your family. It's not just, oh, let me go get a dog because I like the look of it. We really should be more thoughtful and conscientious with picking a pet that is going to fit into your lifestyle.
I definitely agree. Speaking about the pandemic and COVID, so what's going on in the canine and feline world? Is COVID a problem for them too?
No. There were many, many, many studies that came out indicating that there was not a cross-species contamination. We did suggest that if somebody in the house had COVID and they were worried about infection, that you just don't have the dog and cat laying all over you, but they do get their own coronaviruses, but there hasn't been a cross reactivity. Sadly, in the very beginning, when a lot of people were being motivated by fear, there were some countries that were euthanizing animals, large numbers of animals, because they were afraid that they were going to be vectors. And that was totally false.
That's so sad to hear. That really breaks my heart. I love pets so much. I have a little dog that's like my baby. So I'm like, oh my God, I think about him dying and I'm like, I want to cry. He's here with me. Let me enjoy his years with him.
That's something that you just brought up that I think I want to emphasize, is that a lot of things have changed over the past 40 years of my practice career. And one of them is the relationship between pets and the pet parent. So when I first started, you had the dog, the dog lived outside and he came up and you fed him and you played with him. And then you went inside and the dog stayed outside. And cats, of course, they lived outside, right? They came in and they brought you their little mice and their lizards and you petted them on the head and off they went again. But nowadays, these are for babies. They are soul pets. They're extremely important to the family household. I know in Florida, there's parts of downtown St. Pete and Tampa where everything is pet friendly. They have water things out for them. The restaurants are set up to have outdoor seating so people can have their pets out there. Pets are a huge part of the family environment now, and they are support animals. They're helping to get people over a lot of their anxiety and fears and their issues and problems. So it's a world where people now will do more for their pets than they will do for themselves. So very interesting. And I think the millennials have a lot to do with that.
Yeah. Millennials, we're not having babies as much as other people. Well, I don't know if that correlates with the reduced fertility issues that we're also dealing with. So yeah, it's like pets are replacing children for a lot of us. I'm a millennial, so.
Yeah. No, it's just interesting how the dynamics are shifting. And you're right, there is a huge reduction in our population. And people, you look around, you still see people that are having babies. But on a global scale, the fertility rates have markedly dropped to the point where we literally are in danger of extinction.
Yeah, I know Dr. Shauna Swan from the EPA wrote a book about that recently, and she is contributing it to the PFAS in the environment, the plastics and everything. I mean, there's probably so many factors, but
toxins in general.
It's hard to know, what everything is and what's going on in the environment, because we're so industrialized, so we can't really keep track of all the toxins and everything we have going on.
But what we could do, and this is where I really hope that our listeners really take this to heart, you can control your behavior. So you can choose to not buy the standard laundry detergents. You can choose not to buy the standard cleaning products in your home. You can choose to use cleaner body care products, because our economy is run by dollars, and it's our dollars that are running the economy. So if you don't feed your dollars to the beast, then the beast can't live. And the beast will start looking at, where are all the dollars being spent? Let me start doing that. So we, as the consumer, as the individuals that are spending those dollars, we literally have the vote, but there has to be enough of us to make the differences. I don't know about you, but I remember the very first time I saw something organic in Walmart. And I went, wow, check that out. Well, they were one of the first global companies to go, oh, there's a movement over here. Let me capitalize on that and start providing. And so then they started having, it was chia seeds and flax seeds. That was literally the first two, and they came in 5-pound bags, and it was organic. And then, of course, they got into organic greens and you just started seeing the movement. Now there's Publixes, we have Publix near us, and there's actually entire Publixes being built that are only organic. They're all Greenwise, the entire store. So, you know, now as people are demanding it more and there's more of a consumer market, we're going to see a tide shift. And the more of us that say no, I'll walk into a restaurant and if there's not something organic on that menu, I will walk out. But I make sure that the manager, the owner, and the chef all know that they just lost business. And of course, I'm not by myself. So there's going to be a whole group of us that are going to walk out of that restaurant and just very politely say, if you will serve one organic meal, one meal that has good oils, not bad oils, then we'll come back and we'll be a patron here. But if you're going to serve everything toxic food, I'm not going to poison my family or myself. So it's those kind of things. It takes a little bit of effort, but it's really not that hard. And your health and your family's health and your pet's health, everybody is going to be better, longer longevity, which is at the end of the day, that's what our goal is. We want to live longer, healthier lives. But we can't do it with the same mindset that we've created, which is fast, cheap, and convenient. When we change our mindset and we go back to really connecting to Mother Earth, you can do it simply by growing some herbs. A little pot, you can grow it on a balcony. You can grow it on a rooftop. It's not hard. But once you start doing something to connect you back, then you're being more careful about even what do you fertilize with. Right? You're going to do something more natural and organic than something that's more chemical.
Absolutely. I definitely agree with you there. Hopefully there is a movement switching out of that. It definitely would be a different world. Now you discussed treating patients or pet patients that exhibit mental health issues. How are you treating pets that have been environmentally injured?
Great question. So we start with one, removing the toxins. We get them out of the environment and then we work on getting a species appropriate diet. So I actually have a 6-step system and it's a free ebook. I'm allowed to give away the free ebook. It's holistichealingvet.com. Super easy. And it has the 6 steps that we outlined. And that's not just for injured individuals. That's for everybody, that this is how we should live. And so you get out of the environment, you make sure that you mitigate things like electromagnetic frequencies, the toxins in your environment inside and out, anything that you're breathing that's touching your skin. So if you have mold, you got to mediate it. And I would recommend a company that knows what they're doing because, you know, you don't want to be messing around with stuff like that, especially if you have black mold. And then making sure your water's clean. That's food and water are right up there with air quality. So we recommend doing a structured, highly filtered water, and that is not coming out of your refrigerator. I live in Florida. We have the worst water of anywhere almost in the United States. So we really have to work on having healthier water, and it doesn't come in plastic bottles. Plastic bottles have another 24,000 toxins literally from the plastic. And we know plastic's bad for the environment. So don't want to do that. We want to make better choices. If anybody wants to contact me, I'm happy to give lots and lots of recommendations for companies and for products. I don't want to do it on the air, but happy to help people with their pets to help get them into a healthier lifestyle. So we just talked about improving the food, the water, making sure the essential nutrients are there. And let me tell you why that's so important, Alicia, because vitamin D is an example. We get vitamin D as omnivores from our diet and from the sun. But dogs and cats are carnivores. Carnivores only get vitamin D from their protein. So if the food that they're eating came off of a feedlot, never saw the light of day, then that cow is going to be vitamin D deficient. That means when our pets are eating that food, they're going to be vitamin D deficient. And if they're eating a vegetarian diet or they're eating a diet that doesn't have much meat in it and it's not the healthiest of meats, they're going to be vitamin D deficient. And there was a university study that studied across the board processed pet food, and 85% of the foods were vitamin D deficient, processed foods. That means kibble and canned foods. which are already, we could spend another hour talking about that, but that's not the diet that we want. We want to have real food diet, like more species appropriate. So after you've dialed in, making sure that you repaired the deficiencies, you repaired the toxicities, that they're getting the nutrients that they need, they're eating a clean diet, they're getting clean water, we start working on healing the gut. That's your next big thing. You have to heal the gut, because if it remains leaky, then more toxins are still coming into the body. It's still creating this inflammatory cascade, which is then creating this pot of inflammation. And it's that chronic inflammation that leads to all the dis-ease that we see. So no matter what you call it, autoimmune disease, cancer, osteoarthritis, it all comes from inflammation. So we got to keep it really simple. Then we start doing detoxification. And that means the six organs of elimination. And there's so many different things that we could do for detoxification. For lung problems, because a lot of the animals that are inhaling the spores, these mold spores, are going to get respiratory disease. So coughing and shortness of breath and allergies and things like that. One of my favorite is using a salt booth. Like literally, there's commercial salt booths. And we put our pets in there, and that salt, it's not a salt lamp. This is an actual salt booth. So it's using medical grade sodium chloride. It's micronized. It's made into a real fine mist, and then you're breathing it. And so it goes down into the lungs, and it acts like a toothbrush, cleaning the lungs and helping to remove toxins and creating an environment where pathogens can't grow. Ozone is another thing that we use, and ozone can actually be used by pet owners. This is not breathing ozone. This is ozone that is made through a machine and given either intravenously, that would be done at a medical facility, or rectally, and that can be done at home. So it's literally a little catheter syringe with the gas in it, up the butt it goes, just has magnificent effects on not only detoxification, but oxygenation, and even the mitochondria, helping them to be healthier. Infrared therapy, hyperbaric oxygen, lymphatic therapy. I said in the beginning that the liver and the lymph are my two that I focus on the most. And doing lymphatic therapy is imperative. So number one, move. You just got to get your pets out moving. You can do little trampolines. So you're not trying to bounce the dog all the way off the trampoline. You're just trying to give some motion to where their muscles are contracting and they're able to move that lymph. We do an actual technique with a machine that uses microcurrents and negative ions and inert gases. And it's a glass probe where this is all coming through. And we have particular patterns that we do on the pet that decongest and open the flow for lymph to be able to move. So that's really important. And then we have a variety of things that we use to control inflammation. Some of them are oral products. Some of them are products that we do in office. All of these are super important. Very soon, I'm hoping by the end of 2023, we will be opening spas, family wellness centers, which are detox centers for pets and their parents.
Oh my gosh, so many things. I remember my instructor in school. I have my master's in nutrition health education. She said that detox centers are going to be the future of medicine because of how overwhelmed our bodies are. So that's really cool to hear that you're going to have a family wellness center that I'm guessing is going to include the family pet as well.
It's called SPAWS, SPAWS. So SPAWS Family Wellness Centers. And as of the time we're having this conversation, nobody in the entire world has put it all together in this package like we just did.
Very cool.
We're doing it in our office. We've been doing this for several years, but now we're taking it out to the public. Because one of the problems I had was I'm doing interviews, I'm doing consultations all over the world. And I'm telling people, like, let's say that it was an animal that had lung problems. And I said, okay, you need to find a salt booth. Well, my first client out in Los Angeles found a salt booth. It was one in all of Los Angeles, one salt booth, and they wouldn't let his dog in. So I started seeing that it's great that I can do all these things and we have such great outcomes, but I'm one practice in Florida. So I needed to find a way to be able to get this out to the many And so I created a program for pet parents so they can take an online, it's a basically a masterclass, and they can learn everything we just talked about and a lot more in a masterclass. And then I also have a program for veterinarians, so I can train veterinarians in how to do this kind of bioregulatory medicine, which is finding the root cause of the problem and then understanding the biology and then fixing it. It's like kind of like fixing a car, right? If you all of a sudden you're broken down the side of the road and your mechanic is going through and helter skelter trying to find the problem, and then finally goes, oh, there's no gas in the gas tank, right? So it's a systematic process to go through we're magnificent energy beings, but we also have a body. So the physical body has certain requirements that just have to be met. And that's what we're focusing on, is the physical body. And then, of course, we work on the emotional body and the etheric body and the mental body. We do all of that. But for this conversation, it's really, how do we take care of the physical body so it can do its job? It's not a hard conversation. It just means that we have to behave a little differently.
For sure. It seems like, you know, what's good for pet owners is also good for pets. So it definitely makes sense to open up a center that's treating both. And it's a lot more convenient for people to have it all done in one shot to help people get well and their pets. So that's awesome. Now, what's going on in the dog food market? Why is raw foods better than, let's say, I don't know, the vegans that are pushing their animals to eat plants?
I'm going to pose it in a very simple model. I don't think anybody would argue that nature, the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, doesn't make a mistake, right? So if you look out at the animal, plant, insect world, it does a great job until we interfere. Agreed? So if we really want to know what is the right thing to do to be the healthiest, simply look at nature. So nature did not design hummingbirds to take down a buffalo, right? They are designed to eat the nectar out of plants. And carnivores were designed to eat another animal in the state that they killed it in. If nature wanted animals, carnivores, to eat a kibble diet, there would have been some kind of preservation system designed into the nature ecology that did that. But we've created Frankenfood because it's fast, it's cheap, and it's convenient. But it's in no way, shape, or form healthy. So we have to, it all comes back to that original conversation, is we've been sold on fast, cheap, and convenient. But we're killing ourselves, we're killing our pets, and we're killing the planet. So do we want to continue down that path, or do we want to create something different? And for me, contrast is a great thing, because the more I see what I don't want, the more hyper intentional I am for what I do want, right? So it's kind of that wake up call. If we didn't have the contrast, we wouldn't have any motivation to do anything different. Well, we have a ton of contrast now, lots of motivation. And which is why I've done all the things that I've done, is because there was a need. Nobody had filled the niche, and we needed to fill the niche. So, you know, to answer your question the long way around, is why is there such a big movement for raw food? And it's because people are waking up and they're realizing that what they've been told to feed their pets is killing their pets. In fact, did you know that pets are living 7 years shorter than they did 20 years ago, despite all the advancements in medicine? They're living 7 years shorter. And as pet owners, you even said it, there's nothing more important in your life than your dog. So we don't want to wake up in the morning and fill their bowl and go, oh, honey, I'm so glad I'm shortening your life. Like, nobody does that. We want them to live the longest, healthiest life. And so it's those pet parents who, for whatever reason, maybe they had a bad experience, or maybe their pet's not getting better, chronic relapses, chronic ear infections, chronic skin disease, osteoarthritis, cancer, whatever. There's a motivator in there that says, oh, I need to change my pet's lifestyle, because I'm the one responsible for how I take care of that pet. They can't go out there and hunt on their own because they're in our house, right? So there's not an option for them. It has to be us that makes the change. And so a species appropriate diet is the diet that nature intended that individual to eat. It's just that simple. So go on. What is it? It used to be Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. I think it's National Geographic's now in the modern world. But any kind of an animal documentary show that shows nature, and you don't see carnivores, lions, tigers, bears, etc. You don't see them out there looking for a kibble diet. They kill something. They eat it in the state that they killed it in. They stuff themselves because food's available. And then the next time they get hungry, they have to repeat the process. And in that process, they're getting meat, fat, bone, organ meat, some intestines, which is replenishing the microbiome in their intestinal tract, and some fiber from the fur, of course, that they have to go through the fur. And then they get high intensity exercise because they have to run really hard and wrestle their food. Otherwise, they're not going to eat, not like getting up and walking over to the food bowl all day long. And last but not least, that intermittent fasting, because they're not always successful every time they go out to hunt. So that intermittent fasting is another component to how the body was made to be able to clean up all the debris, just normal metabolic debris. But we don't live that lifestyle anymore. So getting back to that is what really helps our pets be the healthiest that they can be. And we can reverse a majority of diseases. There's one more component, I have to say it, and that is the mental state of the pet parent. If that pet parent has a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of guilt and shame, it's way harder for me to heal that animal than the individual that's very optimistic, the glass is half full, not half empty, and they're willing to be teachable, they want to learn, they want to implement different lifestyles, and they have a life that is filled mostly with gratitude and joy and happiness. 100% a game changer.
I want to throw a monkey wrench into the mix because it's really interesting what we see with the people that we help. We see them when they're being exposed to something toxic in their air and in their environment. They are more anxious. They are more depressed. They have suicidal tendencies. So if that pet is sharing that same environment with that owner, I almost wonder, like, is it the pet mimicking the owner's feelings, or are they both being poisoned? And so they're both feeling those same feelings because that is their body's way of telling them, I'm not in a good environment. I'm not being myself. We have to get out of here. But people are not recognizing it as that way.
I think it's a combination. You know, I'm very metaphysical, so I go woo-woo super easy. And I think everything in the world happens for a reason. I don't think there's any accidents. I don't think there's any coincidences. So when you look at a particular pet who is with a particular pet parent and they have their particular challenges, both, you know, the human and the pet, I think there's always a message there. I think there's always some kind of analogy we can draw from that. And it's information. So I think pets do come to us in this very heavy fifth dimension, and they take some of the heaviness away. And I know you've experienced this. You know, you come home and you're really sad or you're upset, some terrible news has happened, and who comes over and puts their head on your lap or sits on your lap or sits next to you, and your hand automatically goes out and starts to pet, cat or dog, it doesn't matter, it could be a bunny. And as you're petting that animal and you're crying, you start to feel a little lighter. You're not as hopeless as you were before. And so I think what happens is those animals are entraining some of the energy, some of our negative energy, like they're saying, here's my shoulder. I've got a big shoulder. Just go ahead and give me some of that. I'll take some of that burden off of you so that you can manage this very dense fifth dimension. And so, yes, a combination. They're in the same environment. They're going to have same and similar metabolic problems. And then, of course, they're picking up the energies of that person. They may not think the energy is, oh, my owner is fearful or my owner is angry, but they sense a frequency, because that's what everything is a frequency. You know, every tissue in our body gives off a frequency. Every emotion that we have has a frequency. So we're emanating that out, and our pets are entraining to that.
I love that. Thank you so much for that explanation. I love my dog. I don't know where I would be without him. He's definitely been with me through a lot of interesting moments, both happy and sad. So I'm very grateful for that. Now, there's always people that want to ask, what are the best products for mold detoxification? A lot of pet parents kind of notice when they take their pets out of a moldy environment, they're shedding stuff from their skin, whether it's like white flakes or anything like that. Are there any particular products you can recommend for internal and external detoxification for pets?
It's going to be a little harder for me to say it that way because I've already covered a lot of the things that we do. You know, we use infrared therapy, full spectrum infrared therapy, salt chambers. There are a few products, but I really don't want to say, I'd rather work with somebody one-on-one and help them with the product so they get the right product. I don't want people to go on Amazon and find something that's like it and it's really not. And so I'd rather not lead people down a bad path, but they're welcome to reach out. We do consultations and help people to put it together. And that's in the way you ask the question, it's really good that you ask that way because we're trained to think of a symptom and then we want to have the treatment for it. So whether it's a pill for the ill, diet for the disease, a shampoo for the skin, you know, where we're trained to think like that, but healing really occurs from the inside out. So even though the symptoms that you're describing are certainly there, we really have to go back to that beginning of our conversation is testing for nutrient deficiencies, testing for toxicities, making sure the mitochondria is working, and then work to make those systems back online. And when you do it that way, we don't have relapses. We get healing occurs tremendously faster, sometimes in days. So it's not a treatment of the symptom. Sometimes symptoms have to be managed, but the more important thing is managing the biology. How do we make sure the body's actually able to do its job? Because we don't really heal anything. It's the body that heals. We saw that with AIDS when AIDS was the big rage, people were dying despite the fact that we had all this medicine around because they had no immune system. So it's, again, we have to fix the immune system by fixing the deficiencies and the toxicities and the mitochondrial function, and then the body can start to work again. And then we're just kind of adding to the mix a little bit. You know, we're doing little tweaks and little twists, but nothing major because the majority of the work is actually done by the body, making sure that the body can actually detoxify.
I appreciate that so much. And the reason why I ask that, because I know my audience members are going to say, why didn't you ask her which product is best? So I wanted to ask you, and I'm glad that you took that corner and you didn't just throw a bunch of products at me because everyone would throw a bunch of products at me and their own products, you know, to promote themselves. And you went a different route. So I do appreciate that with what you answered and what you said. You know, the body does have the ability to heal and all this stuff is nice, but we don't need to be dependent on it. That is just gold. Thank you so much, Dr. Siegel. Thank you so much for your time today. If people wanted to buy your products, buy the food, buy your supplements, work with you, buy your masterclass, where can they find you?
Very easy. DR, like in doctor, if they can see the screen, drmarlenesiegel.com. Just make it super easy. And from that master hub, they can go to our courses, they can go to our supplements, they can go to our raw food company, and then spas, which is not launched yet, they can start inquiring about how it's going to be a franchise. So we're looking for people that really want to do some good in the world, that have a passion for serving. This is not about diagnosing and treating. This is a detox center, but having more ability to reach one to many instead of one to one. That's where we need to go.
Very cool. Love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you to our listeners for joining as well. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
We want to thank you for listening. Just sending a friendly reminder that what we say is not intended as medical advice, but information to expand your thinking surrounding common situations and issues within the mold community. If you like what we do, please support us by making a donation in the link in our show notes. We also provide one-on-one consultations, products to help with symptom management that you can find in our shop, and a private membership group. filled with a supportive community of peers working together to heal from toxic mold. Exposing Mold is a 501c3 nonprofit, and every donation is tax deductible. Thank you so much for your support, and we look forward to providing you with the most honest information out there on mold and mold issues. Please visit exposingmold.org for more information.